Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our Hideaway Studio in East County. Today we've got a lot of big news for you. We took a look at the registrar's office information and we found out that there are no candidates signed up to run yet in many prominent East County races. Find out which ones and how you can throw your hat in the ring on today's show. Helix Water District, with no public hearing, has hiked up rates by over 10%. We'll tell you their rationale and what some members of the public and candidates running for the board have to say about that. If your kids are heading back to school, you may have more than some back-to-school shopping to do. A new state law requires vaccines of nearly all students in both public and private schools in California. We'll have details on today's show. It's been a bad week for Donald Trump, and we'll tell you the reasons why. Concerns about the prominent billionaire candidate running for president continue to mount even within his own party. And now, some prominent officials are starting to question Donald Trump's sanity, with an online petition asking that he undergo a mental health evaluation. The Centers for Disease Control has issued a travel warning for the Miami area after Zika virus has been found to be transmitted there by local mosquitoes. We'll also have an alert for motorists locally on some closures of Highway 67 in East County over the weekend. Then on Green Scene, hear about some climate action meetings that the City of La Mesa is hosting next week and how you can get involved. On our sports report, learn which San Diego State athlete has been named to Sports Illustrated's All-American team. Then on Destination East County, we'll tell you about all the most fun festivals and events coming up across East County. On the second half of our show today, we'll lead off with some national headline news and international headlines from Public News Service, including the latest on the Rio Olympics, Hillary Clinton's surge in the polls, and why President Obama is speaking out on Donald Trump's claims of election fraud. We'll be airing one of our old favorites today, a reel-to-reel segment with an interview with the High Tide Band here in East County. Then on Crime Beat, we'll tell you how you can donate to help the families of a murdered San Diego police officer and another officer who was wounded in a shooting. A petition has been launched to save two East County lakes that are being drained by the City of San Diego. We'll tell you how you can get involved and help. We'll also have information on some prominent journalism awards that we've won right here at East County Magazine. So stay tuned on all of these stories and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters.
The deadline to file as a candidate to run for local offices is August 11th, but so far many East County races have no candidates declared or qualified for the ballot, according to the Registrar of Voters candidate list for the November election. Most community planning groups have nobody running. The same is true in some school, water, and fire districts. Races with no candidates will be filled by appointment. In other districts, people are running unopposed, even incumbents in some of the most controversy-riddled boards. No candidates are listed yet for the city councils in El Cajon, La Mesa, Lemon Grove, or Santee, nor for the mayoral seats open in Lemon Grove and Santee, nor the La Mesa City Clerk or Treasurer seats. However, candidates have been actively campaigning in some of those races, and they may file before the deadline. But it's also common for candidates who declare early to drop out when the deadline to turn in paperwork draws near. In the Grossmont Union High School District, incumbent Jim Steeringer is running unopposed in District 2, that's La Mesa, Mount Helix, Rancho San Diego. In District 1, Lemon Grove, Spring Valley, which is an open seat, only one candidate has filed, Pastor Steve Babbitt from Spring Valley Community Church. In the Helix Water District, where residents have sharply criticized the board majority for the recent rate hikes, three seats are up this election. One has nobody running, and the others have just one candidate each. By contrast, four candidates have pulled papers to run for the Grossmont Healthcare District. Incumbents Bob Ayers and Michael Emerson, Rick Augustine, and former Grossmont Union High School District board member Priscilla Schreiber. La Mesa Mayor Art Madrid has said he planned to run, but has thus far not taken out candidacy papers. San Miguel Consolidated Fire District, where controversies include a recent vote to return to standalone district status and end a contract with CAL FIRE, the only candidate to pull papers is retired Fire Chief Kim Raddatz, who has not yet qualified for the ballot. Community planning groups make decisions on important land use issues, but so far there are no candidates running for community planning groups in Campo, Lake Morena, Crest, Dehesa, Granite Hills, Harbison Canyon, Hakumba, Julian, Pine Valley,
Guatay,
Mount Laguna, Pine Valley, Potrero, or Spring Valley. Alpine and Lakeside's community planning groups have just one candidate running unopposed. These school districts have nobody running so far: Lemon Grove, Jamul del Zura Union, Julian Union High, and Warner Unified. Alpine Union and Dehesa school districts have just one candidate per seat. Mountain Empire Unified has nobody running yet in District 6, and just one candidate each in Districts 2 and 7. As for fire districts, Lakeside and Pine Valley have no candidates running. Alpine, Borrego Springs, and Julian Cuyamaca fire districts have just one candidate. Alpine, Borrego Springs, and Julian Cuyamaca fire districts have just one candidate. San Miguel Consolidated Fire District, where controversies include a recent vote to return to standalone district status and end a contract with CAL FIRE, the only candidate to pull papers is retired Fire Chief Kim Raddatz, who has not yet qualified for the ballot. The Borrego, Cuyamaca, Descanso, and Wainola Water Districts have no candidates running so far. Lakeside Water District has nobody running in Division 4 and just one candidate in two other districts. Nobody is running yet in Padre Dam's Division 2, and an incumbent is running unopposed for Division 4. Ramona's Water District has no candidate yet for Division 1 and just one candidate for Divisions 5. Vallecitos Water District has just one candidate running unopposed in two districts. There is still time to run for these offices and other local races. Most of these offices have no filing fees, so simply putting your name on the ballot could make you a winner if you're running unopposed. There is a small fee to add a ballot statement. Serving in these public offices is a great way to give back to your community and assure a representative democracy. To learn more about how to run for local public offices, contact the San Diego Registrar of Voters at 858-565-5800. Or sdvote.com. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
The Helix Water District Board has approved a 10.3% rate hike by a slim one-vote majority. The board majority claimed the rate increase was needed because the district's revenues have fallen, and that's because customers are using less water, just as the district asked people to do because of the drought. Directors Kathleen Coates-Hedberg and Joel Scalziti voted against raising rates, while directors John Linden, Chuck Muse, and Deanna Verbecki voted for the rate hike over public objections. Director Hedberg spoke with us after the meeting. She suggested the situation could become a vicious cycle. If we continue to raise the rates at this level, people are going to continue to use less water to get their bills lower, she observed, adding, we'll continue to lose more water and we'll be in the same position next year. Critics complained that the board approved the whopping rate hike without adequate public notice also. But the board majority contends that since they approved a controversial 5-year rate increase process last year, there is no need to go through the full public hearing process again each year. But when the board approved the 5-year hike last October, it was presented as merely giving the board the option to raise rates up to certain limits. The board ignored hundreds of ratepayers who voiced near-unanimous opposition then to the rate hike, and up until then, rate adjustments had been made on a yearly basis with a robust public input process. Back in October, Hedberg raised concerns over future public input. The board chair promised that the process would be transparent, with the public given ample notice to participate and raise objections. But instead, the board sent out its agenda on Friday, the only notice of Tuesday's rate hike proposal. That was too late for some print weekly newspapers' deadlines and other publications to get the word out to readers. Moreover, the meeting was held at 2 p.m., when most ratepayers are working. Not a single public hearing was scheduled, let alone in the evenings, as has been done for all previous rate hikes. The process, it seems, is about as transparent as those murky, polluted waters at the Brazilian Olympics. With no significant public notice of the rate hikes on Tuesday's agenda, only 3 members of the public showed up to speak, and all of them were opposed. Tom Brady suggested the board should look at cutting operating costs instead of raising rates. Gordon Place said directors' responsibility was to keep costs low and asked that they look at health care costs for employees. Larry Nichols from the Grossmont Mount Helix Improvement Association also talked about staff cost and unfunded liabilities for pensions. He said it might be time to consider bond financing for some capital improvement projects instead of paying for some items out of the capital improvement budget. Ignoring all of those suggestions, Director Linden moved to approve the 10.3% rate hike, the higher of two options presented by staff. Directors Linden and Muse, who voted for the rate hike, both have their seats up for re-election this year. Linden has filed for re-election and Muse has not yet turned in his papers. Voters will have some alternative choices. Mark Grasick has filed to run for Muse's seat in District 3. He has over 20 years of professional water management experience and currently works as the reclaimed water manager at the Marine Corps Air Station at Miramar. Grasick was present at that meeting last October when the board approved the five-year rate hike. He told us, "People felt powerless. That's when I decided to run." He believes it's unfair to penalize residents with rate hikes for doing the right thing, saving water. Asked his reaction to the latest rate hike, he said, "Approving this rate increase without scrutinizing the operating costs and operating budget goes against what the directors are entrusted to do, which is to look at all aspects of the budget and operating expenses of the district." Grasick added, "I am running to represent Spring Valley and Lemon Grove, which are not the wealthiest communities, filled with working-class families. Such a big increase will have a negative impact on their household budgets." Dan McMillan plans to run against Linden in District 1, which includes El Cajon, north of I-8 to Pepper Drive. He says the board needs business management skills. McMillan has a background in finance and accounting. He has served as president of Padre Dam Municipal Water District, as well as on the San Diego County Water Authority Board and the San Miguel Consolidated Fire District Board. He told us, "I believe the Helix Board action of raising the water rate by over 10% was uncalled for at this time." He adds, "The majority of the board continues to rubber stamp staff requests for cost and rate increases rather than looking at each and every possible cost-cutting measure." He, too, voiced concerns that raising rates could lead to less water use, in turn reducing revenues again, creating an endless justification by the board for yet more rate increases in the future. McMillan said the board acted impulsively last October when it approved the rate hikes of 70% over the next 5 years without even knowing the future effect of El Nino and the district's future operating costs. "As a speaker at the October meeting, I was appalled at the format of the meeting and the treatment of the audience," he said, recalling that staff even called the sheriff after tempers grew heated in the crowd. The sheriff correctly took no action, he noted, as the board majority ignored community concerns back then, just as it's done again with the latest water rate hike, putting the squeeze on ratepayers. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
Besides stocking up on back-to-school supplies for your children, you need to make sure their vaccinations are up to date. A new state law requires that all California school children be vaccinated, including public and private schools, as well as daycare centers. The only exceptions are for homeschooled or independent study students who do not attend classes, or if a doctor has authorized an exemption for medical reasons, such as allergy to a vaccine ingredient. Religious or personal belief exemptions are no longer allowed under the law. The lower the number of unvaccinated students, the less likely it is for disease outbreaks to occur, said Wilma Wooten, county public health officer. The law was enacted following a measles outbreak in California that spread to multiple states. About 2.4% of all children in kindergarten statewide last year still lacked at least some vaccines, down from 4.5% a year earlier. Public health officials hope to reduce that number to nearly zero, with only children who have medical exemptions remaining unvaccinated. According to the Centers for Disease Control, kids ages 4 to 6 need 4 vaccines: DTaP, which includes diphtheria, tetanus, and whooping cough, chickenpox; MMR, which includes measles, mumps, and rubella; and polio. Preteens and teens need a booster shot to protect against tetanus, diphtheria, and whooping cough. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention also recommends additional shots for teens, such as meningitis. Flu vaccines are urged for all school children. If you don't have medical insurance, you can get free vaccines at a public health clinic. Vaccines are available through some pharmacies. For more information, call the county's Health and Human Services Agency Immunization Branch at 866-358-2966 or visit sdiz.org. The new law will face a legal challenge. A suit filed by Education for All, a local parents group, claims the law violates California's guaranteed right to an education for every child. But unless a court issues an injunction, children who are unvaccinated will not be admitted to California schools this fall. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Chisato Iverson.
It's been a bad week for Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. A recent poll shows him trailing his Democratic rival Hillary Clinton by 15 points. Trump has continued to alienate a broad swath of the electorate and prominent Republicans in his own party, even insulting families of fallen military members and showing eagerness to launch nuclear weapons. Now, an online petition is asking the Republican Party to require a mental health screening of the party's presidential candidate following his latest erratic actions. Conservative MSNBC host Joe Scarborough said Wednesday that Donald Trump repeatedly asked a foreign policy expert advisor why the U.S. can't just use nuclear weapons that we have. Gold Star families of military members killed in the line of duty are denouncing Trump after he criticized and insulted Muslim parents whose son died in Iraq while saving the lives of fellow U.S. soldiers. Trump's former lawyer, Thomas Wells, has accused Trump of being a liar, a thin-skinned bully, and an ignorant man who refuses to study up on issues and spouts, quote, incoherent rants, unquote, on foreign policy. Wells has urged people to support Clinton. Tony Schwartz, ghostwriter of Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, admitted in mid-July that he believes Trump is unfit to serve as president, adding that Trump has a propensity to lie. Trump responded by filing a lawsuit against Schwartz. Trump drew the ire of party leaders when he refused to endorse House Speaker Paul Ryan or Senator John McCain. And while most politicians relish photo shoots kissing babies, Donald Trump ordered a mother to remove a crying baby from his political rally this past week. Some top Republicans are jumping off of the Trump bandwagon. Meg Whitman, former Republican candidate for governor in California, called Trump a demagogue and said Tuesday that she will throw her support behind Hillary Clinton, including a hefty campaign contribution. Whitman, who is also the CEO of Hewlett-Packard, says, "Trump's unsteady hand would endanger our prosperity and national security. His authoritarian character could threaten much more." Retired Air Force General Michael Hayden, who served in both the Bush and Obama administrations as head of the CIA and the National Security Agency, said this week that giving nuclear launch codes to Trump could create a crisis given his history of erratic actions. He called the prospect of Trump in charge of nuclear weapons dangerous, noting that once a president orders the military to launch a nuclear weapon, service members must act immediately. New York Congressman Richard Hanna this week became the first House Republican member to endorse Clinton. Hanna called Trump unfit to serve our party and says he cannot lead this country. Every living ex-president, including George Bush Sr. and Jr., have refused to endorse Trump. Neither has Mitt Romney, the most recent Republican presidential nominee. Some Republicans have stood by Trump, however, despite his many controversies, including former vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin, Trump's primary rivals Chris Christie and Marco Rubio, and Senate leader Mitch McConnell. Several top psychiatric experts have spoken out recently to state that they believe Trump is exhibiting classic signs of narcissistic personality disorder, which includes dangerous traits for a leader of the free world, they say. And now a petition has been launched on Change.org asking the Republican Party leadership to demand that Trump undergo psychological testing to determine whether he is mentally fit to serve as president and commander-in-chief. That petition, started by former California Assembly Speaker Karen Bass, is also being circulated via the hashtag #DiagnoseTrump on Twitter. Bass calls Trump dangerous for our country and says his impulsiveness and lack of control make it, quote, our patriotic duty to raise the question of his mental stability to be the commander-in-chief and leader of the free world. Mr. Trump appears to exhibit all the symptoms of the mental disorder, narcissistic personality disorder. The petition lists signs of that disorder, along with examples suggesting Trump exhibits all of these symptoms. Those include having a grandiose sense of self-importance and entitlement, exploiting others, lacking empathy for other people, fantasizing about unlimited power, and having an arrogant attitude. Reporting on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, East County Magazine.
This is Jonathan Getz with a health alert. The Centers for Disease Control have issued a travel warning for the Miami area due to Zika virus cases there believed to have been transmitted by mosquito bites in Florida. This is the first time that Zika has been transmitted by mosquitoes in the United States. Other U.S. cases involved people who traveled to Zika-infected countries or had sex with a traveler to an infested region. Over 1,600 Zika cases have occurred in the United States. Edward McCabe, chief medical officer at the March of Dimes, an organization devoted to preventing birth defects, stated, "This is the news we've been dreading." The CDC is urging pregnant women not to travel to Miami due to the serious birth defects that Zika virus can cause, including microcephaly or small skull, resulting in brain damage. Zika babies may also suffer seizures, frequent crying, and other severe problems. If you or your partner traveled to Miami after June 15th, you should avoid sex or use condoms to avoid pregnancy for 6 months. If you are already pregnant or had sex with a partner who recently traveled to Miami, the CDC advises getting tested for Zika. If you do visit a Zika-infected area, you should take steps to prevent mosquito bites, including using insect repellent, wearing long sleeves and long pants, and being sure window screens and sleeping areas are in good repair. Blood centers in Miami have been asked to stop blood donations until they can screen for Zika. There is no treatment or vaccine for Zika. Most people who contract it have no symptoms or only mild symptoms. While the main risk is to unborn babies, Zika can also cause Guillain-Barr syndrome, a rare but serious neurological condition in adults. The American Medical Association and the American Public Health Organization have criticized Congress for adjourning on summer vacation without approving President Barack Obama's request last February for $1.9 billion in Zika prevention funding. Republican leaders in Congress blocked that measure from coming up for a vote. The Aedes mosquitoes that carry the Zika virus are now found across the southern United States, including here in San Diego, where the county has done spraying to stop mosquito breeding. The public is asked to get rid of all standing water, since these mosquitoes can breed in as little as a thimble full of water. The county also has mosquito fish that will eat mosquitoes, available free to property owners with ponds or other bodies of water. Officials have indicated that better sanitation, mosquito control, use of window screens, and air conditioning should help prevent Zika from becoming as rampant here as it has become across South and Central America and the Caribbean.
This is Miriam Raftery with an alert for East County motorists from Caltrans. State Route 67 will be closed in both directions on Friday and Saturday nights from 9 p.m. until 11 a.m. the next mornings to allow crews to make pavement repairs. There will be delays, and it's best to avoid the area if possible. Northbound 67 traffic will be directed to exit at Winter Gardens, while southbound traffic will exit at Lakeside Avenue. Detour signs will be available to direct motorists.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Jonathan Getz with the Green Scene Report. The City of La Mesa is seeking public input on its draft climate action plan. A climate action plan spells out how a jurisdiction, its residents, and businesses achieve specific reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. Two public meetings are planned with the City's Environmental Sustainability Commission on August 16th and September 19th. Both meetings will be held at 7 p.m. in council chambers at City Hall. Angela Deegan with SanDiego350.org, a nonprofit group dedicated to stopping climate change, states, "These are great opportunities for you and your neighbors to help shape the plan that will guide the City of La Mesa to a clean energy future over the next 20 years. The environmental group says La Mesa residents are needed to provide input and assure that La Mesa adopts a strong, enforceable climate action plan, which includes a goal of 100% clean energy and incentivizes renewable energy and local green jobs."
This is Liz Alpert with an Aztecs football report. San Diego State senior cornerback DeMonte Casey has been named the 2016 preseason second team All-American by SportsIllustrated.com, the website revealed on Wednesday. The honor is one of many for the San Bernardino product, who was named the preseason Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year last week in Las Vegas, Nevada. Casey had 8 interceptions in 2015, which tied for the second most in the nation, the most in Aztecs Division I era and in Mountain West history. He also added 75 tackles with a team-high 58 solo stops, 7 pass breakups, 5.5 tackles for loss, and 2 forced fumbles, eventually being named a second-team USA Today All-American and honorable mention Sports Illustrated All-American, the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year, and the first-team All-Mountain West pick. Even before the Aztecs' first practice, Casey has garnered national attention. He has appeared on 2 preseason award watch lists, the Chuck Bednarik Collegiate Defensive Player of the Year and the Jim Thorpe Top Defensive Back, and been tabbed for the preseason All-Mountain West first team by 5 different publications. Casey and the Aztecs entered the 2016 campaign as the Mountain West favorites to repeat as West Division champions. SDSU received all 29 first-place votes in the league media poll, which was announced last week at the conference's media days at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. SDSU is coming off an 11-3 season where it tied the school record for the most wins in a single year, finished with a 10-game winning streak, the second longest active FBS streak heading into 2016, won the Mountain West title, its 20th conference title in program history, and beat Cincinnati 42-7 in the Hawaii Bowl. The Aztecs kick off the 2016 season at Qualcomm Stadium against New Hampshire on September 3rd at 5:30 p.m.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This is Miriam Raftery.
And I'm Jonathan Getz, guest hosting for Destination East County.
This week's Destination East County includes events coming up in August, including stargazing parties, a summer business bash in La Mesa, outdoor movies, concerts, night fishing, and the Heart of Mount Helix celebration.
So stay tuned for these events and more.
The Julian Starfest is a public star party in Julian that will take place August 6th from 7 to 9 p.m. You can take a star tour of the heavens using the many telescopes in the viewing area. Experts will be on hand to answer questions, and parking is available nearby. Please bring a red light flashlight to guide yourself to the observing area. And if you don't have one, red film will be provided to cover a white light flashlight. You can find out more at julianstarfest.com.
The La Mesa Chamber of Commerce invites you to the Summer Bash Business Expo on Thursday, August 11th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the La Mesa Community Center. You can mix and mingle, enjoy food and beverages, as well as prize drawings. For tickets and reservations, visit lamesachamber.net.
The movie Ghostbusters is coming to Santee Lakes on August 12th. Entertainment by the 80s band Arena Rock starts at 6 p.m. with the Ghostbusters movie showing on an outdoor screen at dusk. Food trucks will also be available and gates open at 4 p.m. For directions to the site, you can visit santeelakes.com.
You were invited to join members of the San Diego Astronomy Association, weather permitting, on the second Friday of each month from sunset to 10 p.m. at the Kumeyaay Lake Campgrounds Day Use Parking Lot. Telescopes will be available for you to view the stars and planets. The next star party will be held on August 12th. For more information, visit MTRP.org/events.
Tickets are now on sale for the 9th annual Heart of Mount Helix, set for Saturday, August 13th from 5:30 to 10 p.m. at the park atop Mount Helix. The popular party on the hill will feature dancing under the stars to the Mighty Untouchables, plus samplings from over 15 local restaurants, along with wine and spirits. Experience live art demonstrations, live and silent auction items, and musical vignettes against the backdrop of some of East County's most inspirational views. You can visit the park's new website, mounthelixpark.org, to purchase tickets and for ongoing event details. And that's mthelixpark.org.
You're invited to drop a line at the last night fishing event of the season at Santee Lakes on Thursday, August 18th evening from 5 to 11:30 p.m., a lantern is required and no radios are allowed. Learn more at santeelakes.com.
You can spend the weekend under the stars at Viejas Summer Nights in Viejas Resort and Alpine each Saturday and Sunday night now through September 4th.
Dance the night away under the stars at the park with high-energy bands and DJs on Saturday nights from 7 to 11, and then you can finish your weekend with a blockbuster movie on a 30-foot high-definition screen on Sunday nights, and the movies start at 8 p.m. You can visit viejas.com for details about movies being shown and bands playing at upcoming events.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org. If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, August 5th, 2016. I'm Mark Richardson. The news on this first Friday in August comes from around the world as the Olympic Games get underway in Rio tonight. Hillary Clinton surges ahead of Donald Trump in the latest polls, and in Washington State, the endangered foglark gets a very large habitat to call his own. Topping the news, several venues remain unfinished. Police are threatening to strike. One-third of the Russian team is banned for doping. The water sports venues are polluted. And then there's the ever-present Zika virus. And the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro don't even begin until later today. Despite a last-minute flurry to get everything in place, Brazilian officials are confident that the Games will come off flawlessly over the next 2 weeks. The more than 500-member United States team is favored in many of the events, but the sentimental favorite is a 10-member team made up of refugees from wars in places like the Congo, Syria, Ethiopia, and South Sudan. They will march into the opening ceremonies tonight with the other 10,000 athletes from almost every other country in the world, if they can all get into the stadium. It took a pair of bolt cutters to open the gates for practice on Thursday. Somebody, it seems, had lost the keys. Donald Trump's week doesn't seem to be going any better. After a blow-up between the candidate and several of his supporters over his criticism of an American Muslim couple who lost their son in the war in Iraq, several key Republicans began withdrawing their support for his candidacy. And then the polls came out, including a Fox News poll that shows Hillary Clinton leading Trump 49% to 39%, a major jump since the Democratic convention. Trump immediately declared that the election was rigged. President Obama found that notion, well, amusing.
If Mr. Trump is suggesting that there is a conspiracy theory that is being propagated across the country, including in places like Texas, where typically it's not Democrats who are in charge of voting booths, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense, and I don't think anybody would take that seriously.
And if you're counting, it's now just 95 days until the election. This week marks the 23rd anniversary of the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act, or FMLA, that created unpaid leave for a new parent or medical emergency. According to Vicky Schiavo, Vice President of the National Partnership for Women and Families, her organization has just released a state-by-state analysis of workplace policies that support families. She says some states, like New York, ranked high, while others didn't do too well.
But a host of states, more than half, have done very little or nothing to improve the experiences and the supports that working families have at the time when a new child joins their family.
12 states were given grades of F for failing to enact any workplace policies beyond the Act and other federal laws that help new or expecting parents. Schiavo says it's an area where the U.S. is behind. 183 other countries guarantee paid maternity leave, and 79 have paid leave for fathers as well. To help with back-to-school shopping, stores in about a dozen states won't be charging sales tax this weekend on selected clothing, shoes, and school supplies. That's a 6-9% savings, depending on where you live. Jennifer Wolf is a single parenting expert who writes from the website About.com. She says it's tempting to buy as much as possible, but recommends doing a little research to avoid a common problem when shopping a sale.
If the item would have been 20% off the week before or the week after, then
saving that 7% during the sales tax holiday doesn't help you that much. So I would say, you know, the trap of thinking this is the time to buy everything and overspending or not sticking to your budget.
Across the country, about 15% of children live in families below the federal poverty level, earning $24,000 a year or less. So the tax savings can be a big help. I'm Mark Richardson for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to Real to Real. Every show, we will bring you authentic, independent artists. I'm your host, Dean Bruce, and I sit down every show with a diverse group of musicians, not only digging deep into the grit of the music-making process, but also bringing to you the real stories of these real artists. This is Real to Real. Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Dean Bruce. We're in studio tonight with High Tide. Say hello, everyone.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
So we got Blaze, Brian, Ed, Kale, Dave, Garrett, huge band in the studio, one of the biggest ones we've ever had. We're going to get right into it. Why don't you give me an idea of how you guys got started?
Originally, we jammed through some house party kind of influences where, you know, a guy's playing guitar, a guy's playing drums, and it just kind of randomly jammed together. And High Tide's been a fluid entity since the beginning, and we've come around to where we feel like we're poised to make some moves in the scene and stuff like that. We got an SDMA nomination just recently for our last album, so we're
nice.
Feeling good about that. And
the SDMAs are coming up right around the corner, aren't they?
Yeah, next month.
Talk to me about the process that you go through making the music. You know, let's talk about Back for More, for example. How did you guys start that off? Do you do lyrics first and then the music? Do you do the music first, lyrics? And kind of walk me through that process.
It changes from track to track. High Tide's a very collaborative project. It always has been. So we've all kind of brought our influences in. It's very much my influence on that song. And so it's got this upbeat, major, quick guitar riff kind of thing happening. And it's really for my lady, you know, I love her. Shout out to my lady, Mavi.
You talked about Sublime. Obviously, musical influence. What other kind of bands are out there that you really are digging on that you kind of feel like you either draw from or want to be like?
Well, there's a lot of contemporary acts out there that are doing reggae, and they're doing it really well and doing it big, like Slightly Stupid, Revolution, bands like that, Iration. These are bands that really came from a lot of Hawaii vibes and with the California mix, too. And we're strictly San Diego, so we like to throw our San Diego spin on everything.
Yeah, on that Revolution note, last year I actually toured with them. I was their backup horn player because their horn player was missing a lot of shows. So I filled in for about 3 months full-time playing sax, and while I was on the road with those guys, I learned a lot about the business aspect of it, which I kind of brought back to the band here. So that band is very focused and...
They're great guys, too.
Yeah, they're great guys. Awesome people, positive vibes, but very focused.
So you talk about bringing the business aspect into it, and it's a good point because making music is one thing. Anybody can get together and throw some people together and produce a song. It may not be a good song, but they can produce the song. But there is a business aspect to it. What do you think that you guys were missing?
Well, I think a big part of it was prior to going on the road of Evolution, all of our stuff was just recorded amongst friends in, you know, decent studios, good studios, but we didn't have a full-time producer backing us. And when I came back from the road, we had the opportunity to work with Ian Young. Of Tribal Seeds, yeah, who's an up-and-coming producer, I mean, a huge producer in the scene right now.
Roots musician. I believe.
Yes, Roots Musician Records.
Yeah.
.com. Check that out. They've got a lot of up-and-comers on there. Hyrie, she's nominated for SDMA. Gonzo from Beyond Eyesight records with them. You know, we're going to work continuously with Ian Young for sure. He's a great guy. You know, everybody's just really positive. It's such a positive scene to play reggae. We're really blessed.
Do you think that there's a point at which you stop being artists and you just are going through the motions? You know, you have an A&R guy, you've got a manager, you've got producers, you become a little sheltered, and the vibe, the positiveness of your message starts to dwindle because you're just trying to put music out there and get a paycheck?
Yeah, that can happen for sure. I mean, we're trying not to go that route. We're trying to keep the roots in there. That's why, you know, reggae has roots, and it's really important as reggae artists to not forget your roots. And that's why when I met Eric from Rebelution, I was really stoked to see that he's a really down-to-earth guy, you know, and it's good to see that the people we look up to are really good people, and it just helps us to want to be good people as well and really push the music forward, you know, and ride the wave. You know, we're high tide. We want to ride that vibe, you know, every day.
Let's take a few minutes and listen to Eye for an Eye by High Tide.
What's at stake? Cause sometimes the blind, them lead the blinds. Where they're moving, y'all get back in line. I said now, we got to change the course. We need to spread some love right from the source. We got nothing to lose except for your mind. Look, take a minute, so you better make it right. Good, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. It's a night for a night.
In studio with High Tide. If I'm looking for you out in the internet, where can I go to find you guys?
Well, if you want to hear us on internet radio, we're on Pandora. We're on Spotify. Just look for High Tide Reggae. We're all over YouTube. Our website is always getting updated. Brian always rocking the website stuff. He's really good with that stuff. HighTideReggae.com. Check us out online and also Facebook.com/SDHighTide. And once again, HighTideReggae.com.
We're going to close out the show tonight with Misled Souls, and you guys are going to rock the house. I appreciate you guys being in tonight, taking the time, you know, spending a few minutes to sit down and talk with me. We've had a great time tonight in studio. High Tide, they definitely rock in the reggae scene with some positive music, positive vibes. And we're going to close it down with Misled Souls.
Company of mine. Whoa.
Reel to Reel is recorded on location at San Diego Performance Academy with help of studio producer Dave Bramley, executive producer Jerry Dean, engineer Levi Wong. If you would like to appear on the show, check us out at www.reeltoreelsessions.com, facebook.com/reeltoreelsessions, or you can email us at info@reeltoreelsessions.com. Title music provided by Look Up Here.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
San Diego police officer Wade Irwin faces a long recovery after being shot on July 28th in gun battle in southeast San Diego that killed his partner, Officer Jonathan DeGuzman. Funds have been set up to assist the families of both officers. You can donate at GoFundMe.com to help Officer Irwin, his wife, and baby daughter. Officer Irwin underwent surgery and is expected to survive. He is a 9-year veteran of the San Diego Police Department. You can donate to help the family of murdered Officer DeGuzman at the San Diego Police Officers Association website, sdpoa.org. Officer DeGuzman left behind a widow and children. Officer DeGuzman was previously awarded a Purple Heart after surviving a stabbing during a traffic stop 13 years ago. A public memorial service for him was held on Friday at El Cajon's Shadow Mountain Church. The tragedies follow a string of police shootings in Dallas, New Orleans, and other places. San Diego Police Chief Shelley Zimmerman has said it is not yet known what led up to the shootings, though body camera footage is being reviewed, or if there is any connection to police shootings elsewhere. A suspect, Jesse Gomez, has been arrested on suspicion of murder and attempted murder after a trail of blood led to police to a ravine where he fled after the policemen were shot. Gomez was also shot in the chest, but is expected to survive, according to the police. He has entered a not guilty plea. A second man, Marcus Cassani, gave himself up for arrest shortly after a SWAT team surrounded his home nearby the morning after the deadly shootings. Police Chief Shelley Zimmerman has described him as a possible suspect. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Chisato Everson.
An online petition at change.org has been launched asking the City of San Diego to stop draining Lake Morena and Barrett Lake here in East County. Rural residents seek help from San Diego residents and all who are concerned about wildlife or the prospect of a devastating firestorm to sign the petition. The petition, posted by Campo resident Karen McIntyre, accuses San Diego officials of ignoring public safety, noting that two residents died during the recent border fire. Firefighting aircraft were diverted to water sources farther away due to lack of water in the lakes, witnesses stated in recent public meetings. We have asked CAL FIRE to respond and thus far have not received a reply. The petition states that the city has put wildlife and rural communities at risk, also failing to live up to its promise to repair the dam at Lake Morena. The city drained Lake Morena to less than 3% of capacity and Barrett Lake to below 6%, public records indicate. Although San Diego claimed it needed drinking water during the drought, the city did not ask its residents to conserve water at all before draining East County's lakes. The water was pumped to Otay Reservoir, which overfilled when rain finally did fall, so the city dumped that precious water supply into the ocean. City officials have thus far ignored pleas from rural residents. A spokesperson for Mayor Kevin Faulkner advised East County Magazine that the city has no plans to take corrective action to reverse the damage or to reduce the risks to rural residents and wildlife. The draining commenced during Mayor Jerry Sanders' administration, but was ordered halted by Mayor Bob Filner to protect the public. However, that order was again changed after Filner left office and the draining resumed. The petition calls for the city to take four actions. Stop draining the lakes until water levels are restored through natural rainfall, which may take a while. Immediately repair the dam at Lake Morena. Balance needs of rural versus city residents as well as wildlife and groundwater impacts before making future water withdrawals, and keep at least a 50% capacity at both lakes in the future. You can find the petition, titled Save Lake Morena, at change.org and on our website at eastcountymagazine.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
This is Miriam Raftery with some good news to share. East County Magazine has received 5 awards in the Society of Professional Journalists San Diego Pro Chapter 2016 Journalism Awards Contest. Journalists honored included our editor, Miriam Raftery, yours truly, as well as reporters Mike Allen and Janice Russell, and our sound editors Ed Barena and Leon Thompson. The honors include a special First Amendment award with a $100 prize for our series on county efforts to suppress free speech. As a result of our coverage exposing this issue, the American Civil Liberties Union, or ACLU, notified the county that its proposal to force protesters into free speech zones outside the county administration building was unconstitutional, and the county backed down. East County Magazine also won first place in the multicultural category for our story on local Chaldeans' efforts to obtain release of Iraqi Christians being held in an Otay immigration detention facility. Our coverage included written reporting for our website as well as audio coverage that ran on our radio show right here on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice. We also received second place in the political government category for reporting on Soytech backers hosting a fundraiser for Supervisor Dave Roberts just days after Roberts cast a vote for a controversial Soytech solar project in East County. In addition, East County Magazine received 2 honorable mentions, one for our news series titled Ambulance Responses in Our Region Raise Alarms, as well as a multicultural story on rising anti-Semitism worldwide. Congratulations to our talented and hardworking team.
We're on the road in East County, visiting some amazing towns and meeting some incredible people across our region. Welcome to another adventure on East County Magazine's On the Road.
This is Hayden Parsley, on the road in Hacumba Hot Springs for East County Magazine. You can take a trip into California's past at the Desert View Tower, a quirky and whimsical relic of the past that is still open to the public here in San Diego's East County. Located just off Interstate 8 at the Incapa exit, the tower is poised on a rocky overlook surrounded by desert on all sides. Built in the 1920s by Bert Vaughn, a real estate tycoon who owned much of Hacumba, this 70-foot watchtower has become a tourist attraction and a local landmark on the outskirts of the small town known as Hacumba Hot Springs. Originally built to commemorate the area's rough pre-highway history, the tower houses a small museum filled with artifacts and oddities of California's history, including our region's Native American, Spanish, and pioneer past. The top floor of the tower is an observation deck, with a coin-fed telescope that provides a breathtaking view of Imperial Valley and the Anza-Borrego Desert, though now somewhat marred by a wind farm. In 1950, a gift shop was added around the base of the tower. The shop still operates today and is filled with an eclectic mix of items such as geodes, gems and minerals, vintage postcards, historic and travel books on our region, arts and crafts items such as handmade Tecate tiles, onyx bookends, musical instruments, carved animal sculptures, and more. Roaming this area of the tower are the owner's many friendly dogs that add to the rustic charm of the location. You can also get a workout pumping a player piano while listening to old-time tunes. While I was there, the wind was gusting. It was a bit chilly and I wished I had a better coat when I reached the top. The owner says this is atypical though and that it is warm and sunny most days. The proprietor, Ben Schultz, has many colorful stories on East County's history, culture, and colorful characters, having operated the site for many years. Boulder Park at the Desert View Tower was created in 1933 by an unemployed engineer, Merle Ratcliffe, who was out of work during the Great Depression. He sculpted reptiles and fanciful animals out of the huge stone boulders. I didn't get a chance to tour these, which will be an adventure for another time.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Kevin McLeod, and Pond 5. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.